Good afternoon, Saints. Actually, it's evening. It's starting to get dark. It's a little after 6 p.m. I have something on my heart today that the Lord began to quicken in my spirit late last night. And if I had the opportunity to share then what I'm sharing now, I would have done so because that was when the quickening was the strongest. But I'm still feeling this. And so I pray in Jesus' name that what I have to share will come forth with a sense of the unction. And what I want to talk to you about is the way of the prophets. That's what I'm going to call it, the way of the prophets. There's some things that I've seen that are pretty much universal as far as how the Lord uses prophets and speaks to prophets and causes prophetic ministry to flow out from those who are prophets. So, Lord Jesus, in your name, Father, we bring this to your people with not any presuppositions about our own position, Lord, or any vaunting of the self, but Lord, because you are dealing and you are speaking, God, and I feel a concern for your people and for your body, and I pray this will bring some clarity and some necessary, I don't even want to say the word correction, but Lord, some necessary getting back in track where we may have possibly gotten off a little bit. In Jesus' name, Lord, just help your servant this day and let me be your true servant, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I'm sharing this because I had a little bit of an alarm in my spirit as I saw someone with a beautiful gift of prophecy, very strong gift of prophecy, very awe-inspiring gift, very, they have a wow gift. You're in awe when they speak because they speak with such depth and they really do see into the spirit realm. And I've seen this particular one has become more and more, has allowed himself to become more and more commonplace. And I feel like the gift is not being protected now that he's been brought into some prominence and into some being a notable ministry. It's the appearances that there's a lot of speaking, but not a whole lot of waiting. And it's important for prophetic people, more than anyone, a prophetic ministry, to engage in times of separation and times of coming apart to the Lord. And the Bible says that the gifts and callings are without repentance. And so that could give us the idea that we can do and say and act however we want, that the gift is secure. Well, the gift may be secure, but the thing that is the most endearing about a gift, about a spiritual gift, is not just the gift itself, but it's the presence of the Lord that comes with the gift. And the gift may always be there, but you can lose the presence of the Lord. You can lose the sense of his being in that moment, in that gift with you. When you're ministering, you can lose that sense of unction. And so, and I've seen this. I've seen people who could read your mail and just tell you what you have for dinner last night. But there's no life. There's no God breath on it. And it's like people will be in awe of that. And I'll think, why? Why are they so moved by that when there's just no substance to it. And this is a thing that makes a difference between someone who is ministering prophetically and someone who's just ministering out of their gifts and their callings, but not prophetically. You get a lot of information in your head, a lot of good information in your mind, whether it comes to you from the Lord or if it comes to you through study, deep study of the word, you can get a lot of head knowledge. And it can be very brilliantly dispersed, and it can be very just something to cause people to, again, to stand up and take notice. And God gave us a brain, and God gave us a soul realm, and there's a whole lot of stuff that's worked out in the soul realm, worked out in our heads, that has little to do with the spirit, has little to do with the moving of the spirit. It might be good teaching, it might be instructional, and it might be wisdom, but it doesn't have God breath on it. And you only get God breath, you only get the sense and the fragrance of the Lord's presence and the oil of the anointing by spending a lot of time in the sanctuary. You need to spend a lot of time in the sanctuary. So when I see people who they're breaking out of smallness, they're breaking out of confines, and the Lord's causing them to come into recognition. And for a while, it seems like they're riding a high. God's people love them. They're very impressed. But then it's kind of like people just lose interest, or they just kind of get put on the back burner. Or if they stay on the front burner, but they're not in that place of receiving directly from the Lord, and they're not staying in the sanctuary of His presence, oh, Lord, it can get really sad, because a lot of times people think that they're still there when they're not. One of the most unsettling things I ever heard from a prophet of God, this was to me directly, and in the bulk of the prophecy, somewhere it said, or it intimated, actually it came right out and said it. I wish I could remember the exact context. But the word said something about me losing my edge. Don't ever think you can't lose your edge. Don't ever be so enamored with what God is doing in your life and how God is using you and how God is speaking through you that you actually believe you can't lose your edge, because you very much can lose your edge. And you can even prophesy out of your own mind and out of your own conclusions about things that are not true. Now, I don't even know if this is the right title, The Way of the Prophets. But one of the things that I've noticed about people with strong prophetic ministry is that they are, for the most part, in a constant spiritual warfare for their mind. Constant spiritual warfare, constant bombardment of thoughts that they have to filter out coming from different places. There's the pure word of the Lord, then there's suggestions by others, there's seeds that the enemy can sow that would cause discord. There's just all sorts of voices always coming. And I've learned one of the ways the enemy comes against me to get me off kilter and to get me out of flowing in the pure word is he will speak a word into my spirit that brings fear, and I have to battle it, and I have to come to a place. And a lot of times it sounds very, very religious, and it's like a warning on steroids is what it is. There are true warnings from God, but then, you know, the enemy will come and tell you or give you a warning. Sometimes it'll be through another person. Sometimes it'll be just something coming into your own spirit. And it will just, it has a power to kind of obliterate everything of peace that God is truly saying. And so that's one of the things, that bombardment against the mind. Another thing is that the enemy will sow seeds in your mind against a ministry or against a brother or sister in the Lord. And you have to really guard against those things. You think that you're hearing from God. You think you've got a clear word. And you can usually even get people to agree, especially somebody that's been offended. You can get other people to agree on that that little tidbit that you feel you've gotten from the Spirit. And you'll find in time that wasn't the truth at all. And one thing that is really dangerous with prophets, especially proud prophets, is that they can come to the place where they are so convinced of their infallibility, that they can prophesy something that's not true, and then they come hell or high water, they will not release that thing. They will not let go of it. They'll not let just come to the place of saying, no, okay, Lord, that wasn't you. I thought it was you, but it wasn't you. They will not let themselves relinquish it because of their pride, because they don't want to have to admit that they made a mistake. And I'm concerned because I'm seeing one person in particular. I know that there's more, and I know that I've had my own battles in this area. But one person in particular who's there's a whole lot of projection right now, and it feels like there's not too much introspection because things are starting to happen and things are starting to come in and come into his spirit and flow out that does not have the same fragrance, the same smell as I've known this person to have in years past. Now, I don't know this person. Anyone who's thinking I'm talking about a church or a situation where I was intimately involved, no, that's not the case here. This is someone I've never met in person that I've just observed. I've observed their ministry. You can do a lot of observing if you're on the internet. You can see a lot of things. And sadly, you don't always see what's in the background, and you don't always see the time spent in the secret place. But when a person appears to be getting very little sleep, and there's lots of chatter, constant reasons for chatter, and it's like there's a question mark, where is the time of waiting on the Lord? Now, this is important because if you have something truly from the Lord, I want to read the first, let me see, where's my Bible? Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay, anyway, let me pull up here. I'll just go online and get it there. I think I left my Bible downstairs. I'll go into Luke 6. And I think it's the first verse. Luke 6. And it came to pass, no, maybe it's not Luke 6. Maybe it's Luke 5. Go back one. Okay, thank you, Lord. Yes, Luke 5. And it came to pass, now, no matter what you do, it's always good to look at Jesus as your example. No matter what your ministry call is, what the anointing is in your life, it's always good to look to Jesus as the example. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. Well, I just want to focus on one little part of verse 1. The people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. If you have a true ministry, if you have ever experienced or emitted through your ministry, through your mouth, God breath, if you have ever come out of the presence of the Lord where you have actually been bathed in his fragrances, when you come out, people are going to desire what you have. People are going to be pressing upon you to hear the word of the Lord. If you claim to be a prophet, if you claim to have a ministry in this along these lines, and there's nobody pressing upon you, then either you have misunderstood your gifts and callings in your life, or you have not been in that place where you are literally experiencing an in What's the word? Infestation, certainly not the right word, but where you're not, you should be absorbing the fragrance of the Lord. You should be absorbing what He is all about. And I like, let's look at Psalm 45. I just want to get the sensory perception. The prophetic anointing carries with it fragrance. It carries with it fragrance. It has a certain smell, a spiritual smell. Now, you know, when I talk about the five senses, talking about things of the spirit, we're not talking about in the natural, although there are times where there's been such a manifest presence of the Lord that a person can actually see. I've been in meetings where I've actually seen the glory cloud, the blue Shekinah glory cloud of the Lord. That's a manifestation of His presence. Chapter 45 of Psalm, I'll just go through it. Not everything will fit, but until I get to the right point, because it kind of flows. My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty. And in thy majesty ride prosperously, because of truth and meekness and righteousness. And thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp in the hearts of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad. Now, this is just to point out that there's a scent. There's a scent when you have been in the presence of the Lord, your garments will get saturated with the scent of the presence of the Lord, and it will be on you, and that people will want to be pressing upon you. And if they're not, it's that the fragrance is missing. I truly believe it. We've got to have that fragrance, and you can't have that fragrance. You cannot continue, just like anything that, by daily wear and getting out in the air, it's going to lose its fragrance. It's going to dissipate. It's going to evaporate. That's what's going to happen, and that's what is happening. If you're not walking, having that time, and see, this is the price that one has to pay to be used of the Lord and to be used in effective ministry where people stand up and take notice and say that there's something different about you. It's that time in the presence of the Lord. And if you've known it and you've thought, now, I knew a man of God, and I need to get a drink of water. I'm having a little problem with my throat. Laryngitis has been trying to take on, but of course I don't receive that in Jesus' name. I'm the boss, not my body. By the word of the Lord, I have authority to speak to my body to not be sick in Jesus' name. The Bible makes that very plain to me. So, where was I going? Thank you, Lord. Help me to remember. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It's a good time to just praise the Lord, worship when we get stuck and we forget things. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy. Father, you are worthy. Help me to get back in track. Thank you, Jesus. Talking about the fragrance of the Lord and being in His presence, so we get the fragrance. I'm seeing people. Oh, I remember what I was saying. Years ago, I knew a brother whose ministry suddenly took off. Is having all sorts of invitations, all sorts of engagements, being called upon a lot. He was just on the go all the time, and I had such a question mark about, well, where do you wait on your ministry? When do you have time to wait on your ministry? And he said to me that he had learned in so many words, these weren't his exact words, but in so many words, that he had learned to meet the Lord, quote unquote, on the run, that he had stored up, he had a storehouse of prayer and waiting on the Lord that he could draw from. And I believe that that may be true to a certain point. But when somebody starts telling you you're losing your edge, or if somebody in the body of Christ says to you, oh, brother, you're overly exposed these days, and there's more silliness than substance. There's more talking about all sorts of things going on in the world than there is meat and drink for the people of God. You need to get back to that place. A smoking fire will he not quench? A burning fire or smoking flax will he not quench? Something like that. If you're just getting to that place where you're just pretty much all smoke and no fire, you need to get back to the place of waiting on the Lord. And God will keep that which pertains to you. Don't feel so nervous that if you are not out there and being seen all the time, that you're going to lose out, that people will forget you, that you'll be a no name. If that happens, it's a lot deeper matter than what we're talking about here. That will not happen because, going back to that scripture about the gifts and callings without repentance, you'll still be able to activate that gift. But what is filling the gift? Is there the oil filling the gift? Is there the presence of the Lord over that gift? Is it being drenched with pure water? What's the status of it when you're used of the Lord? Jesus, thank you, Lord. Father, you see, Lord, that Father, there are some who are hearing my voice that are actually in spiritual danger. And if they don't rein it in, if they don't bring it into subjection, bring their spirits into subjection to you, to get apart, to get quality time apart with you. And Lord, I'm not laying out any rules. I don't even have any rules. And I certainly fail every time I try to keep rules. But Lord, there ought to be a consistent coming aside to seek you, to wait upon you, to read your word, to get along with you without other voices crowding in on us, whether it's the voices of other family members or the voices of the news on the TV set. Lord, in Jesus' name, or even cute kitty cat videos, whatever it is, Lord, that would crowd you out, Lord. I pray right now, Jesus, for your people, that God, we would know what it means to get in the secret place. Father, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay, my throat's really wearing, so I think I'll stop here and see if this is even worth putting out. But I'm burdened, I'm burdened, I'm burdened. Overexposure is not good for prophets. Prophets need time alone with the Lord in the secret place, and they need it often. And the body of Christ needs to understand. When the social butterfly anointing comes on a prophet, then we'll just say that that's God and he's allowing it. But if that social butterfly stays and doesn't leave, you can kiss your ministry goodbye. You can just kiss it goodbye. You need your time. You need your quiet time. You need your private time. You need your time to meditate and reflect and look deeply in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. At recommended reading, Jeremiah chapter 2. Read Jeremiah chapter 2. Let God speak to you out of that chapter. Okay, and just let God speak to you out of that chapter in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen.